camera. Action, folks. Murray throws. Touchdown, Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins. Quarterback draw. Murray, can he get there? Touchdown. Perfect.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 158 of the British Birdman Breakdown. A weird time of the day because it's still light outside. Skiving off work to do a podcast, you know, living the real life here in the Birdman.
Bird Gang Towers is going a bit mental. It's a weird day, it's a weird time, but you know, it's been a weird season, so I guess that's all very appropriate as we kind of come into the end here.
Exactly, yeah, it's over Christmas as well, so like no one knows what day any day is anyway, so
yeah, very true. But yeah, we're here obviously to talk about the Christmas Day, Boxing Day, depending on where you are in the world, game that we had against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which went, I think, differently to how any of us really expected it to go. But we've also got some important news items to get through today as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've got quite a lot to speak through on this episode. You know, we've got that, we've got news, we've got the game, we've actually got fantasy football because it's Birdman Bowl, like, final season.
Oh, yeah, of course. Robin.
Not as though ever was doing it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, always good to go through the Bird Gang Bowl, see who's made it to the finals and do some recursing of names and things like that.
Yeah, and of course, we have the preview for our penultimate game of the season coming up against the Atlanta Falcons, which is one of those horrible 6 p.m. kickoffs.
I have absolutely no idea what to make of that game yet, but I guess we'll see. And we'll obviously talk about that at the end. But yeah, let's first get to our major news items.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably kick off with probably the biggest news item of the week, and that is the fact that Colt McCoy is coming out of the concussion protocol.
Hey, there's movement at quarterback. That's always big news.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he did miss the game against Tampa Bay, meaning we did have to sit through 3 and a bit hours of Trace McSorley not being an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the guy came out with a rating of 57.4, so not exactly the best night for him.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously everyone knows of the song now, you know, he threw it on the dime, but none of the throws to DeAndre Hopkins were particularly dime-worthy.
No, I can't say that they were. I mean, I think Hopkins only pulled in like one reception all night.
Yeah, just about managing to keep that streak alive. You know, it's just, it's like the tail end of Larry Fitzgerald's career, isn't it? You know, when we were just hoping for that one catch just to keep the streak going.
Yeah, exactly. But it's nice to see Hopkins get the catch, obviously. I do think, you know, I think Trace McSorley held it together a lot better than maybe we were expecting, but you're right, he's not an NFL quarterback. And despite my, you know, complaints about Colt McCoy a few weeks ago, I think I'd rather have Colt out there than Trace.
Yeah, I mean, it's night and day, isn't it? Like, even though Colt McCoy's still not that great either, but, you know, hopefully we don't have to put up with him for much longer. It's only 2 more games.
Yeah, exactly. It should only be a couple more games. And then, you know, the forecasts still say that we're getting Kyler back at the start of next season. So I think that's always a big bonus.
And I mean, speaking of DeAndre Hopkins, did you see the news as well? I think it was earlier today or yesterday. One of those NFL rumor Twitters put out saying that possibly he could be traded away in the offseason.
I keep seeing this, you know, floating about the idea of trading away Nick. And like, I think that the usual thing that they say is that you should trade him away because he's going to start losing a lot of value in the next like year or two. Like, he's going to start slowing down. He's going to start being less good. And sure, we've got Hollywood Brown on the roster at the moment, but I don't know that I would put Nick out there as well, because it's not like we've got a huge amount of extreme talent and depth at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those odd ones. Like, obviously, you can see if the Cardinals are going to start sort of rebuilding, then it would make sense to get his contract off the books.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely get that. You know, he's going to be expensive and he's going to lower in production because that's just what wide receivers do. But equally, you know, he reminds me a lot of Larry Fitzgerald, who was very, very useful right up until his like final year. And, you know, the man's still not technically retired, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those ones, like, you can see, like, the reasons for doing it. And then also you're like, but we've really enjoyed having DeAndre Hopkins on this team. And, you know, him not being on the team would be a huge loss, no matter who comes in to replace him.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, ultimately, like, there's rebuilds and there's rebuilds. And I think unless you're committing to a full rebuild and you're saying, like, no, 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 we're going to do it, we're going to be rubbish for the next couple of years, and then afterwards we'll come back and we'll get good again. You know, like, that's the kind of rebuild you need to be looking at to get rid of Hopkins here. I mean, I'm talking, you're stripping it back to the bones, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the things as well with the Cardinals. Like, you know, we've had these, like, since, I'd say Bruce Arians, like, when he was here, there was always the talk of, you know, maybe the Cardinals are going to rebuild, but it wasn't. It was more of a retool, as they said.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they've never, like, fully committed to, like, a full rebuild. I think they've always had, like, so many big, like, contracts still on the books, even though it's, like, the players are declining in quality, you know, they're getting older. You know, you should maybe try and trade them away, you know, free up some cap room, and then, you know, you get to bring, like, a younger player in. But the Cardinals have never done that.
Well, that's the thing as well. It's not helped by the habit of the Cardinals of kind of being the retirement home of the NFL. You know, we bring in a lot of guys, a lot of big names, but we tend to get them at the end of their career, right? Like, case in point is our next news story about J.J. Watt. Big, you know, hugely important player, brilliant player, had a great couple of seasons with us, but we've, like, lost all of the investment that we put in him, if you like. You know, he's obviously not going to be traded away now. And even if he was going to be traded away, he's going to have continued to fall in value, I guess, in that time. Whereas you see other teams do it where they pick up guys, have a good couple of years with them, and then sell them, I guess, at their peak. Which is another, you know, it's potentially losing out on, like, a couple good years of the player, but you retain the overall value in the team and you can invest that back into new talent as well. So, you know, that's something that we've not been doing for a couple of years, and I wonder if it's maybe catching up with us again.
I think it's always caught up with us, though, hasn't it? Like, just the unwillingness to, like, completely destroy everything.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's...
Kyler Murray on his rookie contract would have been, like, a perfect example to actually do it, but now he's got this massive extension, hasn't he? It's like, we're always going to be putting so much away each year for that in a cap hit. But that'll then, again, limit, like, what you can actually bring in, because you're going to be paying Kyler Murray all that money. And obviously the salary cap will continue to go up, especially with the fact that they did sign that multi-billion-dollar deal with YouTube.
Yes, yeah, like, way more than any of the TV networks and stuff were paying. So we will get more room in the salary cap. But the problem is that the wage just inflates every year in accordance with the salary cap, you know?
Yeah, but that's the thing, like, if we extended him now, in a couple of years' time, possibly, like, 40-odd million against the cap might look cheap for a quarterback.
I think it probably will, actually, you know, in a couple of years as we see the cap raise as well. But that's also the same with any big quarterback contract, you know, like, when you see what some of the guys who negotiated their contracts 4 years ago are getting paid, they were making headlines at the time for being paid a lot. And now it's nothing because, you know, just every single time a superstar quarterback negotiates a big contract, it just completely changes the game.
Yeah, I think next in line is probably, like, Lamar Jackson, isn't it?
Yeah, possibly. And you know, like all of these guys, they want to be seen as the best, and therefore they want to have, you know, record-breaking contracts, right? You saw it with Pat Mahomes, right? You know, I think some of the negotiations there were not just about getting more money. It was about becoming the highest paid.
Yeah, somehow Kansas City managed to, like, accommodate his contract plus all the other contracts on their roster.
Yeah, so, I know they've got a huge amount of talent in there as well. So, yeah, very interesting there.
That's what happens, isn't it, when you have, like, a well-run franchise.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I do, you know, going back to the original point, DeAndre Hopkins, I really do see the two sides of keeping him or giving him up. But I also think, you know, this is largely still the same team that went 8-0 at the start last year. And we kind of know as a group that they can win. So it seems like an odd thing to throw away, like when we kind of don't really know what's broken at the moment.
Do you think maybe the options could be weighing up? Either we keep DeAndre Hopkins around for that 1 year, or do we extend Hollywood Brown because he's also out of contract this offseason?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I think in that case, you know, if it was a choice between the two, I think I'd extend Hollywood Brown and trade away Hopkins, because I think that's your best overall like value as a package.
Yeah, but I mean, especially when you gave up a first round pick for Hollywood, it's like, yeah, you're not just going to give that up like after 1 year, are you?
No, definitely not. Not for at least another first round pick, right?
I mean, you wouldn't get anything for him, though, would you? Because he'd be a free agent. I think he's restricted free agent as well.
No, I think we need to. I think we need to, you know, keep him signed at the very least, but. You know, I think I'd like to see both of them continue on for now.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could have both of them, you would. But if it's a case of, you know, we need to cut our cloth accordingly, it's like, I suppose we do need to get rid of one of them. Hopkins is the one with the trade value, so it just makes sense. And then you just have to wonder what you would get in return. And obviously, you're not going to get, like, a massive haul.
No, but you could get some really good like draft capital for this year, right? And or, you know, like we could really use like a defensive lineman or linebacker or something like that as well. Especially now that JJ Watts is retiring.
Yeah, and maybe we'll talk about that because that is one of the big news stories. But before that, I think we do have an even bigger one.
Go on then.
And that is the fact that Buda Baker is now out for the season with what was, I think it's a broken shoulder or collarbone, was it?
I think it was collarbone, yeah. And it seems, so it's listed as a fracture, which is good news because that will be healed up by next season, no bother. But he played through the game with it.
I mean, he's just not human, is he?
No, it's unbelievable. When people talk about him being that, you know, that leader in the locker room, I think that that's the kind of thing, you know, that earns him that title. You know, there's a lot of guys in there, and actually, like, I fully understand it, that would, the minute that they felt their shoulder break, they would not be playing anymore. And there's, like, you know, there's a broken shoulder and a broken shoulder, and there's, you know it and you don't know it and everything else. But I think when people hear that, you know, like, he played through with that broken shoulder, that just really shows, it shows how much he really cared about it in a game that really meant nothing as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, if the playoffs were on the line or something like that, then you'd understand someone, like, playing through an injury.
Yeah, but exactly.
On a season like this, you know, when we're going to lose anyway, it's like, I mean, obviously, you respect the guy for it, but it's like, why would you do that when no one else probably would? But I suppose, again, like you say, it just shows the sort of person he is, isn't he? Like, the leader he is in that locker room.
Absolutely. And, you know, like, I think based on all of the little sound bites and stuff that we've had from him, I would kind of expect nothing less. You know, it's like, it seems that it's his personality to really care like that.
Yeah, thankfully it's like not too bad of an injury. You know, he can easily recover from that in a couple of months or so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a doctor.
No, absolutely. I mean, no, he's out for the season, obviously, and I would expect nothing less. Even if it was a kind of minor injury to a guy like Buda Baker in a season like this, I would just be, no, sod it. It doesn't matter.
I suppose the worst thing for him, though, personally, is the fact that he now has to miss the Pro Bowl.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Given that he was our single representative at the vote this year.
Well, you know, I think Pro Bowl nominated is obviously still a huge honor and, like, well-deserved, obviously. But, you know,
he'll still have his, like, on-field jersey presentation at some point next season, though.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, totally, totally deserved. And I fully expect him to be in the running again next year.
I think he's really going to be one of those guys who's there or thereabouts every single year, though, just because, even on name recognition, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
the amount of highlights you see from him.
He's made a name for himself already, and, you know, all it takes is one or two highlight-worthy plays that make their way around, and people are going to find him. So, it's not going to be his last chance to go anyway. So, and now, you know, I think we get him sat out. He'll be healthy for the start of next season. The next two games really don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it gives like someone else an opportunity to play. Yeah, I don't know who.
I don't know who they'll bring up either, but, you know, I heard them saying that they might run some more nickel formations or something like that and get more defensive backs out, so maybe this would be a good opportunity to have a look at that, you know, bring in somebody else into the safety, and then you've got, you know, your three corner positions open.
Personally, I'd put Isaiah Simmons back there, you know, see how he looks as a safety.
But you know what, there's definitely worse ideas than that. Brilliant strong safety, and like, he's got the athleticism for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll get on to Vance after this episode and see if he's thinking the same thing.
We do still have that official Cardinals email address sitting around somewhere, so maybe we'll send it to them. It'll be Mike Jarecki or someone that picks it up, though.
Yeah, we won't do anything with it, Will.
Yeah.
Stupid Jarecki.
It's a shame as well, because I was just thinking, you know, I when I said there that last two games don't matter, I thought, could we at least play spoiler for San Francisco? No, we can't. They're four wins ahead of Seattle.
I mean, I think we could injure them, but I suppose they would sit out them. And also, they have got pretty much quite a few injuries already, haven't they? So how much injured can they get?
And every time they get a superstar injured, they seem to find some new, like, unknown talent waiting in the wings. So I wouldn't even bother.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see the likes of, like, Brock Purdy or Christian McCaffrey playing that game.
You know? No, not a chance. Not a chance.
I suppose with the Pro Bowl as well, there was two alternates selected from the Cardinals. Not that they count, but I suppose it counts in a way, didn't it? Because he did get a nice graphic on the Twitter.
Who was it then?
I think it was... Oh, who was it? I'm going to have to look now. Was it Dennis Gardeck and Matt Prater, I think? That's what I'm going to say. I think it was Gardeck and Prater. As Pro Bowl alternates.
That's not a bad, you know, bad set.
Yeah, obviously Gardeck's for special teams, not for the fact that he's got one sack as an outside linebacker this season, but I digress.
He has had a good season in special teams, though. You see him a lot, an awful lot in the replays of any good special teams plays. He's always there or thereabouts.
Yeah, and so a quick browse to see if that was actually correct or not. I mean, it was a while ago, wasn't it? Because like, we did have the game in between, and
it also doesn't
we did
list
have that news.
Yeah, it doesn't list the alternates.
No, but I'm sure the Cardinals tweeted it out.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, like we say, it doesn't. Yeah. So it was Matt Prater and Dennis Gardeck.
Matt Prater, 22nd
of December. So it was literally last week.
Yeah, it was last week, but we've had so much news since then.
And Christmas, and everyone forgets what time it is anyway.
Absolutely. Anyway, shall we get on to our, I guess, big news story?
Yeah, I mean, we have actually started.
We talked about it a few times in the previous ones, but yeah.
Yeah, and that was the sad but expected news, I would say. The JJ Watt is retiring at the end of this season.
Yeah, great summary. Sad but expected. Yeah, you know, he's had a cracking career, obviously only a couple years there with the Cardinals, but really made his mark on the team and, you know, played his way through a lot of injuries. He's been injured. He had his heart shocked back into rhythm earlier this year. And he just had a daughter, I believe, as well. So I totally think that this is, if ever there was a time to hang up the boots, this is it, you know.
Did you say your daughter?
I think he's got a little baby, right?
Yeah, I think it's a boy.
Is it? I thought it was a daughter. But anyway, he's got
the gender of a child.
Yeah, well, we've got a new fresh baby, let's just say.
A new what child?
A new child, yeah. You know, JJ's gonna get himself out of there, which I think is very fair.
Yeah, I mean, like we say, you know, expected because, like, what else does he have to prove in this league? Nothing, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing he could ever have done is get himself some more, like, silverware. And frankly, like, that just doesn't happen for a lot of great players, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, see Larry Fitzgerald as a point of interest.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, I think he got his move from the Texans partially due to their woeful mismanagement and, like, absolute garbage fire sale that they had 2 years ago or so. But he got himself a good season, I would say, with the Cardinals. Like, in fact, it was his injury that really kind of put the brakes on our winning streak. It wasn't that specifically that caused it, but he was there for that big winning streak at the start of the season and then not for the losing streak.
And it's not a coincidence, obviously.
You know, it's not a coincidence, but I do think that we do play better when he's there on the rush. You know, he's just such a big, imposing guy. And he takes up so much of blockers, and I think it means that any team that doesn't have a really good offensive line, we can really, really make them struggle.
I suppose what did make me chuckle before was the fact that you said he went from the woeful mismanagement of the Houston Texans
to the woeful mismanagement of the Arizona Cardinals.
Some would say anyway, not at all.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, or would we? I don't know. I don't know where we stand on that front.
I think that particular, you know, move or moves during that off season to get both JJ Watt and DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, it was two successive years, but, you know, to get the maneuvering for that was a huge deal. Like, that was great management at the time. Great deal making.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like when they actually had the announcement of his signing in Arizona, you know, like that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah,
so
it really
did JJ Watt's tweet about this being his last season?
Yeah, absolutely classic JJ style, isn't it? Just break his own news.
Yeah, I mean, like obviously you mentioned the fact he had his heart procedure, didn't he, like a few weeks ago? And like someone was going to leak that out before he was able to put the news out himself.
Yeah. So he ended up tweeting it basically from the dressing room over in Carolina or wherever it was, I want to say.
What, the news about the...
About his heart.
Heart procedure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, like, you know, it's rare to see someone being able to break that sort of news. And, like, did you see JJ Watt's press conference yesterday?
No, I've not actually seen it. What was he saying?
I mean, it was just basically saying how quite a lot of the players on the team knew already that this was going to be his last season. They were just able to keep it that quiet, you know, not leak it out or anything.
I mean, that's a sign of, you know, good respect among teammates, I would say.
Yeah, obviously, like, I mean, why would you? Because it's not really your place to say anything like that, is it? Like, run off to Adam Schefter to say, oh yeah, JJ's retiring at the end of this season. Get it out there before he does.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's good. It's good to know. It means that he was well liked and among the team and everything like that. So that's nice to see.
I mean, why wouldn't he be there? I mean, he just comes across as like such a nice guy, doesn't he?
Well, yeah.
Literally, on the field, off the field, he's just like. Obviously, he did win the Walter Payton Man of the Year award, didn't he? So
that's exactly what I was going to say. I think every guy that you see who's wearing one of those Walter Payton patches, you just know that they're a good person.
They just happen to also be ridiculously good at playing American football.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. But you know, obviously, he will be missed going into next season, because, you know, between losing him and Chandler Jones, although Chandler Jones has gone on and done really nothing over at Las Vegas, but, you know, those two together really were the defensive line, you know, that was the play there, right? Like, was getting to the quarterback with one of those two. And now we're going to have neither of them going into next season.
I mean, Chandler Jones would like you to recognize the fact that he did have a game-winning touchdown the other week.
He did have a walk-off touchdown off of the stupidest lateral play I've ever seen.
But yeah, you do need to acknowledge the fact that he has done one thing in Las Vegas.
He has, in fact, done one thing in Las Vegas. He stood in the right place at the right time in Las Vegas. But anyway, you know, point being that JJ's, you know, like, his departure was... Definitely, we knew it was going to come, but I think it will still sting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can't really replace a guy like him just like that. I mean, you could try, but it's not going to be another JJ Watt.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think a big part of that, other than TJ Watt, who's kind of, you know, a sort of mini JJ Watt, but, you know, there's something, you know, more than just the pure sort of size and physicality. And I think that's the name as well. You know, a name like JJ Watt draws double coverage from offensive lines. They drop schemes just for the sake of JJ Watt. Whereas, you know, as you kind of go down our depth chart at defensive line there, you don't see any of those big names that would be something that, you know, one of the superstars, I guess you'd call it, that offenses would be deliberately planning for.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that is a huge loss in that aspect. And possibly, like, the replacement for him could be Zach Allen. But again, he's another guy who's out of contract, so we would need to pay to bring him back as well.
I do really hope that we see Zach Allen make it back, you know, next year, because he's, as I said before, he's fast becoming one of my favorite players. But you got to say, you know, same thing, right? He's still a great player, big guy and everything like that, but he just doesn't have the same imposing force as JJ Watt does.
Yeah, but to be honest, how many players in the NFL do?
Well,
count maybe Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald. It's like the two other like huge defensive lineman.
Yeah. Big shame to see him go, but happy to see him retire healthy, hopefully.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, he's going on his terms, like you were saying a lot yesterday. You know, it's like how so many players are like forced out, or they go because they're like too broken to play anymore. His health. He's you know, made his millions, probably going to make millions more outside of it in endorsements and everything.
Well, he's such a big personality, right? He's definitely going to continue to appear in adverts and all sorts of other things. So I think he'll be set for that. And yeah, as you said, you know, better, definitely better than going out after a big injury or going out after,
nobody wanted him anymore, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No contract being renewed or something like that. So, yeah, as good on him getting out on his terms. This is another lesson in how to retire properly.
I mean, you wouldn't expect anything more, though, would you, from JJ? Well, you know, with a bit of here and there.
Class act all round. And yeah, as I said, we'll be missed.
And I suppose the countdown now will be to 2027, I think.
What's the 2027?
Because that's when he will be entering the Hall of Fame as a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, there's no doubt. No doubt, he'll be straight to Canton and for that.
I'm sure they're probably already making his like gold statue or bronze statue head thing.
They're already sourcing the material to make a jacket big enough.
Yeah, I was going to say they're going to need a bigger jacket for him.
Yeah.
Unless he becomes one of those who, like, when they stop playing, they lose like a ridiculous amount of weight. But
I think we'll see him lose a fair amount of weight because the amount of muscle he's keeping on is insane. Like, that's hard to do. That's, you know, that's hard dieting and hard exercise. But I do think, like, apart from anything else, he's just got a big frame. So,
yeah, I mean, he is like, what, 6'6", 6'7", something like that. So he's naturally big.
I had it up here. 6'5".
6'5", is it? Yeah.
288 pounds. So. Big boy.
You'd still be asking him, like, how's the weather up there, basically.
yeah, exactly. You're still, you know, very much in the making fun of for height territory.
But yeah, you know, it's going to be a big loss for the Cardinals. You know, even though we've been at it for like 2 years here, just the fact that we've actually been able to enjoy him in the desert is, you know, good enough, you know, for me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's you know, it was shocking when he was coming over because he is such a big name. And having 2 years out of him, it's great. I think that's pretty much all you could really expected, you know, when he came over in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we could have maybe had him earlier in his career, but, you know, that would have cost a hell of a lot more money, and I don't think Houston would have given him up that easily.
No. I don't think they would have at the time. Remember, there was a point when Houston was actually winning games, you know.
I mean, that's and I quite think hard as well, to imagine.
Like, yeah, I think as well, the other thing to remember is, you know, as much as he was very good about it when he was with the Cardinals, I think he was always still a loyal Houston Texan at heart.
Yeah, I mean, like you said before we came on air, you know, it would be a surprise to see him do one of those one-day contracts to, like, retire as a Houston Texan.
I'm pretty sure we'll see that, you know, or at the very least, he'll be going down to Texas to get inducted into whatever their Ring of Honor is.
Yeah, I mean, he should already be in that, but maybe they have rules like they can't be playing still before they can go in.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, what a career. Been a pleasure to watch. And, you know, as I said, sorely missed. But it'll be interesting to see what they do at defensive end. And you know, whether or not that'll signal a change in defensive philosophy.
I mean, who knows? There could be an entire house cleaning in the off-season. Where, you know, they may have a new defensive coordinator. So even that's a mystery at the moment.
Very much could be. And I'll tell you something that wouldn't have helped our current coordinators, both offensive and defensive, is another loss to add to the record, because the Cardinals lost in overtime 19-16 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to fall to 4-11, of which the home record for the end of the 2022 season is 1-8.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, is it? I mean, even though it's technically one of those home games, the one in Mexico.
Yeah, one of them is. But even so, that still puts us to 1-7 in State Farm Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, is it? You know, when you're like it's just not good. Just not winning at home, because like, all these home fans pay all that money to see the team they love win in their home stadium. And, like, they've won once in like probably 2 years, isn't it?
The one win that we had prevented us from going a full year, full calendar year, without a win. So if you kind of add that up, we've had one win in the last 15 months or so at home, which is, I mean, really shocking, actually.
Well, how many thousands of dollars that costs, like, per win?
Yeah, well, exactly. And especially, you know, every week I'm complaining about the fact that, or every home game, I should say, I'm complaining about the fact that our stadium seems to be filled with fans of the opposite team. And that was definitely true again this week. But honestly, who can blame them? Who can blame the people in Arizona, right?
Yeah, I mean, you may as well, like, just sell off your tickets and then put them towards the next year. And hopefully, maybe next year will be better at home. But again, also, it's one of those things we have no idea yet.
Yeah, and people spending a lot of money there to go and see Trace McSorley complete 24 for 45 passes.
I mean, it didn't seem like he completed that many. But I suppose they are the stats.
It was just an awful lot of trying. Yeah, no, it didn't. I'll tell you what was odd about this game, though, is that it was an awful lot closer than I expected it to be. I put money on that the Cardinals wouldn't be able to cover the spread, and in fact they did. I think it was 7.5 or something like that was the spread.
Yeah, it was 7.5 going into this game, which, you know.
So, I'm shocked and, you know, somewhat pleased, I guess, that they were able to hold on, but it was another high-kicking game with only field goals being scored until, what, the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't a really good game to watch at all, like, you know.
It wasn't, no. I mean, it was odd seeing Tampa Bay looking quite sluggish as well, because they almost, to me, looked like they'd clinched the division and they were just taking it slow. But I went and checked, and they're not that far clear ahead of Carolina and New Orleans, who are both only one game behind them.
Yeah, I mean, like, Tom Brady just looks sluggish. Like you said, he looked sluggish just all over the field. Like, I suppose not the defense. Defense played really well on both sides of the ball. Well, for both teams, rather. But, yeah, offensively, they just seemed to struggle. Like, the run game didn't really get going much with Leonard Fournette or Rashad White. No. Mike Evans was anonymous. And I suppose Chris Godwin caught him. Yeah, I think Mike Evans was the one. Was he targeted on the two interceptions from Marco Wilson? I know he was for one of them.
He definitely was for one. He also definitely made one really big catch that kind of kept their drive going, which I think eventually led to the win. But I think he might have been the target for both of the interceptions. Very odd to see Tom Brady. He had 32 for 48 passes and two interceptions for less than 300 yards, which is, you know, it's not great for Tom Brady.
I suppose he's like 45 now, though, isn't he? So he is probably catching him up. And yes, he still probably wants to keep playing.
Yeah. Although I will say, hilariously, he has a lower quarterback rating in the game than the other 40-odd-year-old quarterback, Andy Lee.
Oh, yeah. How can we forget that fake punt?
Andy Lee's fake. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, he's tried four in his career, hasn't he? He's completed three passes.
Yep, 3 for 4 in the career. And he has a quarterback rating from that game of 83.3, which beats Tom Brady's 71.6.
Was it better than Trace McSorley as well?
Yeah, Trace McSorley was 57.4, so Andy Lee was the best quarterback in the game.
I've always said we should have Andy Lee as quarterback one.
Oh man, what a miserable game to watch, really. But I suppose, I guess we could talk about sort of highlights from it. And I think my highlight would be the couple of scores and the sort of period that led up to where we actually took the lead, when it was 16 to 9 at that time.
I know we had a 10-point lead at one point.
Yeah, okay.
It was 16 to 6.
So, you know, that was quite a nice feeling. It was obviously James Connor, really, really good touchdown. We had continued really good kicking, and, you know, solid 3 out of 3 field goals from Matt Prater. And, you know, it was not exactly the best, cleanest football, but, like, it looked like we could have won the game.
Yeah, it was one of those where it looked like we were maybe going to win by accident, just because, I mean, nobody seems to want us to win a game now because it'll just ruin whatever draft pick we're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I thought, you know, maybe we'd at least get, you know, there's a nice thing about winning, even if it gets us a slightly worse draft pick. You know, I think we're at the stage where we're going to be in and around the same draft point anyway. And I think, you know, the win, if it was going to be down to anything, was going to be down to the 2 interceptions that we got.
Yeah, I mean, like, the defense, like we said, they played really well, both for the Buccaneers and for the Cardinals. Like, there was one point where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had picked up, I think it was 9 yards on first down.
Yep.
And then
we second, held them.
Second and one, he tried to run with Leonard Fournette. It was no good. He tried to run on 3rd and 1 with Leonard Fournette. It was no good. And then on 4th and 1, he tried again with Leonard Fournette. And the Cardinals shut them down and turned the ball over on downs.
Yeah, which is brilliant to see, you know, from a team who's actually really struggled with their run defense this year. Leonard Fournette's no mean feat to stop, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's another one of those big bruising backs, isn't he? Like, obviously, he's never really lived up to the billing as being like the 4th overall pick. But
I don't know. I think he's had his moments, but yeah.
I suppose he's won a Super Bowl ring, hasn't he? So what more
he has, yeah.
Granted, it wasn't for the team that he was drafted by, but that was a Jaguars, no. And, you know, when are they going to win a Super Bowl?
Not anytime soon anyway, but
they may have actually been a chance with it this year, though. May be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fun team to cheer for in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be my team to support in the playoffs, even though they'll probably get blown out any time you play, like, Buffalo or Kansas City. But, hey-ho, at least a fun day.
You know, once you're in the playoffs, you only need to string together, what, like 3 or 4 wins to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, tell that to the Cardinals who've strung together 1 win in a row all season, possibly.
Oh, they've not, no. But I do think, you know, this was a close one. I don't think I saw it said it on air. I think I said that before we started. If this was a game that was played in the first like 2 or 3 weeks of the season, I think I'd be presenting it on here as, look, there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of good stuff to get out of holding Tampa Bay to, you know, as low a score as we did. And I think in a way there is, but it all speaks to the defense. You know, I think the fact that we were able to hold Tampa Bay to 19, but the offense weren't able to find more than 16 points all game, is a bit rubbish. And I do think that a huge amount of the credit to even getting close to 16 points belongs to James Conner as well.
Yeah, I mean, when it came to, like we said about the defense, you know, Marco Wilson had 2 interceptions. J.J. Watt had another. Well, actually, he had a really good game last week, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Which won him the British Birdland Breakdown Player of the Game Award. And you'll never guess who won it this week as well.
Was it J.J. Watt again, by any chance?
It was J.J. Watt this time again, yes. So, I mean, it was closer this week.
Yeah, who else was in the running? I guess Buda Baker would have been a good one in the running, or Marco Wilson, maybe?
Yeah, so I put down the four options were James Conner. He had 10% of the vote.
Yeah.
Marco Wilson had 24%. Greg Dortch had 29%.
Yeah.
And JJ Watt won with 37%.
Okay. So kind of everyone was in with a bit of a shout there. Greg Dortch is a good one as well, actually, because he was like the only guy who looked like he could catch a ball from Trace McSorley.
I was going to say, yeah, that's one guy we haven't mentioned, but we should mention. It was the fact that Greg Dortch had one of his... I mean, obviously, he started off the season, was it like the first 4 weeks? He was like a really big, integral part of the offense.
He had some really good moments and then sort of disappeared for a little while.
Yeah, like, just seemed to stop using him until this game. They were like, oh yeah, we've got Greg Dortch, haven't we? Let's throw him the ball.
And he was actually
like, he was nine catches for 90 something yards, I think.
10 receptions on 11 targets for 98 yards. And you compare that to DeAndre Hopkins, who had one reception on 10 targets for 4 yards. So he outplayed DeAndre Hopkins significantly.
I mean, can we put a pause there? Because 10 targets for DeAndre Hopkins. Did you see some of those targets? Oh,
I know. They absolutely shouldn't be counted as targets, really.
They were ridiculous. Like, Tracy McSorley was like, if DeAndre Hopkins was twice the size, he would struggle to catch some of them.
Yeah.
It was ludicrous. 10 targets.
Yeah. It's a shame as well, because it is going to go on DeAndre Hopkins' stat sheet like he's had a terrible game, and I don't think it's reflective of it, but...
Yeah, he only caught 10% of the balls coming his way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes to show that it's like the further that McSorley was able to get down his reads, the better a throw he was giving. You know, like it, to me, that's indicative of the times that the Tampa Bay wasn't blitzing. You know, he had time to make the throw, and then Greg Dortch was able to reel them in because it was a better throw. Whereas when he was trying to dump it off quickly to his first read, DeAndre Hopkins, he was just having a rubbish throw.
I mean, I suppose we should be thankful for the fact that DeAndre Hopkins's consecutive games of a catch streak lives on with
hugely.
Single catch.
Yeah, we need to, you know, continue to cheer that, much like we did for Larry Fitzgerald back in the
day. I mean, how many of those, like obviously the tail end of Larry Fitzgerald's career, like how many games did we have like where he just had one catch?
It was like loads of them. You know, we were always looking out for it, and you know, sometimes as well, it would be, you know, he would get one target for one catch right at the start of the game, and then you just wouldn't hear from him the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it made no sense, like what happened to Larry Fitzgerald, but as long as the streak continued, that was all that mattered.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it was for one of those stupid wide receiver screen passes that went nowhere. I mean, when did they ever go anywhere?
No, they never went, and it was poor play calling, I think, with those ones.
I mean, we probably should talk about those two interceptions by Marco Wilson as well, because both of them were ridiculous.
Yeah, real worldies, weren't they? Like, really, you know, brilliant instinct, great coverage, getting in underneath the ball. And let's remember as well that this isn't just any quarterback that he's picking off, it's Tom Brady.
I wonder if you asked him to sign the ball like the San Francisco guy did the other week.
I wouldn't mind it, like a Christmas Day thing. And, you know, I guess Tom wouldn't be too annoyed because he came out with the win in the end anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously the first interception was not as good as the second one when he went up Wilson, he's one of those guys who obviously struggled in like his first few weeks in the league because that's what rookies do. But, you know, as we've got to the end of the season and Byron Murphy's back continues to give him chip or whatever, and we're like down to, what, 3 cornerbacks. It's like, Marco Wilson's been playing a lot, but he's been playing pretty well.
He has been playing really well, you know, definitely developing into a really good player. And happy. I believe we've got him under contract for at least another year.
I mean, he's a rookie, isn't he? So,
right, yeah, true. So, well, anyway, it's good to have, you know, young, talented guys in at that position that we've struggled with for a while. And who knows, maybe he's going to be the answer. I do think there's going to be some confidence gained by having picked off Tom Brady, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it definitely helps when any sort of quarterback can pick anyone off, but picking off the GOAT twice, you know, can't be bad.
No, it was brilliant, brilliant play. And I do think, you know, that there was a sort of, it's a shame that it didn't all pay off in the end, you know, and I think a lot of that's partially to do with the overtime rules in the NFL. You know, I think we got a little bit screwed over there.
I don't know. We'd still do, we both had possessions of the ball, so can't complain on that front. We just did nothing with it.
I just hate the next score wins mechanic, you know.
I mean, everyone does get a possession now, so if you don't score on your first possession, then that's your fault.
Yeah, true.
But, yeah. I mean, I didn't hate the overtime rules. I just hate the fact that it happened at, like, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
After a very long Christmas day as well.
I know. But I suppose the good thing was it was Boxing Day after, not Monday. Yeah, so we never had a Misery Monday.
No Misery Monday. Yeah, Boxing Day and just, you know, let it all chill. Not needing to be anywhere. Very good.
Yeah, definitely took advantage of that and just stayed in bed as long as I could.
Yeah. I'm not getting up any, you know, particularly fast after a loss like that. But hey, only 2 more games to go in the calendar.
Yeah, thankfully. Even like starting that this week with one of those stupid early games that we hate because it means missing NFL Red Zone, but it's a sacrifice we have to make.
And the Cardinals historically do dreadfully in them as well.
So hopefully it's another loss on the path to a top 3 pick, possibly. Maybe higher, yeah. I don't know.
Very, very possible. But let's get on to that after we've had a quick stop in with fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much really to talk about fantasy now, is there? Because it's the championship game week and neither of us are in any championship game.
No, we're not.
I mean, the closest I got was in one of my leagues where I was like 3 points off making the final. And had I started Travis Etienne over J.K. Dobbins, I would have been in.
That's pretty good going. I mean, that's hard work to get there, but it's awful to have only 3 points between you and the win.
I know. I'd rather get completely like annihilated to then like miss out by that much, but it is what it is. I suppose we do have the Super Bowl coming up in the Dynasty League. Again, neither of us are in that.
Nope.
But I mean, we do have Dan taking on Luke, and Dan is doing it without Derrick Henry because he decided to sit him this week, even though they know it's fantasy week.
I know. It's always funny with the fantasy season, you know, getting long into this part of it. You do start to see superstars who've had a really good season and whose teams have had a really good season. You start to see them just be not, which is always quite questionable.
I mean, the projections do still have it pretty close, though, 165 to 160, so that could technically go either way.
Yeah, I could really see it going either way for the Fantasy Super Bowl, but
personally, I hope Dan wins, because then I get another draft pick off him.
It's been nice to see the, you know, the mixing going on that season. You know, I think there was quite a few people in with a shot, but 2 teams who played well all season made it.
Oh, the annoying thing is, though, the last week of the season, I was basically 0.4 points off getting a number one pick.
And now you're like picking 4th or something, right?
Yeah, I'm picking 4th now. It's like, it's ridiculous. I could have had Bijan Robinson on my team, but now I'm going to have to settle for someone else, which is annoying. Could have done with him on my team.
It's potentially a bit like the Cardinals if they win one of these remaining two games.
Yeah, which is why tanking is a good thing. But sadly, I didn't tank well enough.
On the plus side, as a commissioner, you've proven that you're not tanking to an insane degree anyway.
I mean, I should have done. I should have taken my last player out just to guarantee me losing, but then that would have been wrong. And
0.4 points.
The playoffs would have been completely different as well in that instance. So.
Yeah, they would have been. What about in the weekly pick'ems? Did you how'd you get on there? Because I had
completely
rubbish.
Missing out one fantasy league.
Oh, so we are, yeah. The proper go on.
Yeah, I know, like, we're obviously not in the Birdland Bowl finals, but they are still happening, and there is still going to be a Birdland Bowl winner at the end of it.
So, remind me how the Bird Gang Bowl winner is calculated. That's from the best overall score in the finals, right?
Yeah, so basically we have the five individual league finals this week.
Yeah.
And then the winner of that will pick their team for next week.
Yeah.
And then the high score wins, basically.
So, yeah, if you got to remember to send in your completed team to Tom, right? You got to send it, remember, and lock it in.
Yeah, otherwise you just get the same like lineup as whoever was in their lineup for this final week. So if there's inactive players, that's your fault, basically. But yeah, we've got five finals coming up this week. So we've got in League One, So Good It Hurts versus Full Wattage. League Two is McBride and McPrejudice versus Nuke Skywalker. League 3 is McBride of Frankenstein versus Corpse McBride. Very original.
Yep.
League 4 is Steve Kimes Draft Dartboard versus the Vigilantes. And League 5 is McBride and Prejudice versus My Bull Sack Hips.
So we've got lots of McBrides in there. We've got lots of Zacherts, some JJ Watt puns, you know. It's like a little mini version of our starting pool.
I know exactly. We've got like a repeat. I mean, I don't particularly like the McBride and McPrejudice one because that's just taking a bit too much far.
Yeah, yeah. It just could just be McBride like and Prejudice. Yeah.
But I suppose they didn't make it to the final, so what do I know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all in the name.
All in the name. We know Steve Kimes Draft Dartboard. We know who that one is.
Yeah, I'm not sure who any of the other ones are, because I know in League One, at least, it wasn't the guy who the projections predicted to be number one. He didn't make it.
I don't think I've ever seen the predictions actually get anywhere close to being right. In fact, I think more often than not, the team that I've seen get predicted to like go 0-16 or whatever is the team that wins it.
I mean, in my case this year, I think I was projected fourth, and I finished fifth in the league, so I suppose that's close
enough.
That's
not bad, yeah. That's not bad.
I'd rather it predicted me to be first, though, but, you know.
Yeah.
We can't have everything. So are we going to curse any of these teams, or should we just let it all play out?
I think we should just curse the McBride and McPrejudice because it's overly done, and then let everyone else sort themselves out.
Yeah, pretty much. So good luck, Nuke Skywalker. You're going to need it because...
Yeah. I good luck to everyone who's in the finals because it's not easy to get there. And then obviously, hopefully, we'll have our final Bird Gang winner in 2 weeks' time as well.
Yeah, as long as they remember to send in their picks and all that sort of thing. But,
of course, yeah.
And speaking of picks, we've got the NFL Pick'em again.
Yeah, and I only got 8 points last week, which means I think if you get a few more, I don't think I'll be mathematically eliminated, but I'll be pretty close to it.
Yeah, I managed to get 11 points this past week.
I think that probably means you've won it for this year, unless you manage to get them all wrong in the next 2 weeks or so.
I mean, it's doable if I go against the odds on every single one of them.
What's your total points? Because I'm at 131 total points. I reckon you're probably close to 150 now.
144.
So, yeah, basically, I need like a full week's worth of games to swing.
Yeah, and that's probably unlikely to happen this week because there's so many one-sided ones.
There's a lot of very one-sided ones, but well, yeah, congratulations, I guess. But we'll play it out to the end.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate, I'm not counting any chickens yet because
I am surprised to see. You know, I know that the Cardinals have not been doing well, but I'm surprised to see, looking at it, that only 11% of people think that they can beat the Falcons.
I suppose they do know the fact that the Cardinals are usually rubbish in the 6 p.m. slot.
Yeah, very true. They are pretty awful in that slot for the most part.
And I haven't put them down either. I'm going for the Falcons because I want the point more than to be right.
I think I'm going against just, you know, for the off chance that I'll get some points.
Yeah, I mean, you could close that gap by one at least, but you need a lot more than that.
I'll tell you something I'm not going against is the 100% of people who think that the Chiefs can beat the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few, isn't there? There's like, it's a couple of 98s, there's a 96.
It just, 92. You know, it's that point in the season when you know who's who, isn't it?
But then there's two, which are like 50-50, 51-49.
So there's Vikings, Packers that are 50-50. What's the 51-49?
That's the Bills-Bengals on Monday Night Football.
That's a fair one. I think that's a hard one, hard game to call.
I mean, that's a probably no Bills.
But yeah, who knows?
I mean, in one of my dynasty leagues, I do have Josh Allen and Joe Burrow as quarterbacks. So it's like,
that's a hard one. Who are you going to start? Who are you going to sit?
It doesn't make any difference because I'm out of anything in that
yeah.
one. Any other time it might have been, you know, a worthy consideration, but not to be. So I suppose we should probably get on to our penultimate game preview of the season.
Yeah, and indeed that's the aforementioned Cardinals away to the Atlanta Falcons. So 6 p.m. Game slot our time. Cardinals going into it as the underdogs with only a 3.5-point spread this time, and obviously only 11% of the public, as I said, they're expecting that we can win it.
Is that 3.5 in favor of so Atlanta minus 3.5?
So it's Atlanta minus 3.5, yeah.
That's not... I was surprised at that. But then again, Atlanta are struggling themselves, aren't they? So
yeah, I mean, it's... Atlanta's currently sitting at the bottom of their division with a 5-10 record, which is actually, you know, obviously we're sitting at 4-11. But, it, you know, their whole division is a lot closer than ours is. The Atlanta could actually leapfrog New Orleans with a win here.
I mean, mathematically, they could still make the playoffs in that division.
Actually, do you know what? They could still finish second in that division if both Carolina and New Orleans lose.
Yeah, but if the Buccaneers lose both of their last two games.
Yeah, true.
Then, and obviously Atlanta wins both of theirs, they'd be 7-10.
So there are, in fact, quite a lot of marbles still to play for there.
Which is why the Falcons are going to win, because they need the win and we don't.
They do, yeah. And the Cardinals going into it with potentially yet more different offensive line lineups because both Max Garcia and Billy Price are currently listed as questionable too.
I mean, everything about Billy Price is questionable, isn't it?
Yeah. You could actually just have it listed as questionable in general, you know.
His NFL caliber of play is questionable, to say the least.
Yeah.
I suppose someone does have to stop Colt McCoy from being killed.
Yeah, well,
if it's Billy Price, then good luck, Colt.
It might not be Billy Price, as I said, so I guess we'll
wouldn't have a clue who the backup center to him is, because he's already the backup center.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm thinking we're just going to be on, you know, we're going to be on Stitch together. Like, they're going to be just looking for big guys down the high street in Arizona, right?
I mean, did you see the new? I mean, you might not have seen the news, but apparently a couple of days ago, you did say that Rodney Hudson may be back for week 18.
Oh, man, I kind of hope he's not, to be honest, because it's such a garbage fire. We've got nothing left to play for, and I just would rather sit him and have him be healthy in a couple weeks' time, like in the start of next season.
I mean, he's another one who may just retire, you know, like might just impugn that, you know. Obviously, we won't really, like, dedicate half an hour of the show like we did to J.J. Watt retiring. But, you know.
I think, you know, an offensive line special might be in the works if that's the case, because there needs to be something set up for it.
Yeah, but they'll just go, won't they? Like, we don't really care that much about either Rodney Hudson or Justin Pugh.
Absolutely.
Personally, anyway. They're both mercenaries just after a pay deal. Maybe, I don't know.
And kind of fair play to them, to be honest. Like, I wouldn't stick around in this Cardinals team at the moment.
I mean, they were both more in retirement this offseason anyway, so what reason would they have to come back anyway?
Yeah, very true.
And would we want them back? I don't know. Considering the fact, like, Rodney Hudson's been injured for, like, how many weeks now, just to come back for, like, one final game, it just makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a rebuild as well, you know, if like either you keep him off the field and keep him healthy for next year, or you just don't bother putting him out and like getting him injured again unless he really wants to for his final, you know, final game. Regardless, it's still going to leave us with yet another offensive line lineup, which is just ridiculous, and that's something we need to address in the offseason for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's something we need to figure out. And, you know, who's going to be the one figuring that out? We don't know yet. No one knows.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be different regardless. But as for this game versus the Falcons, obviously we've got, as we said, the Falcons are something to play for. Is Marcus Mariota still healthy? Is the question.
I think they've gone back to their... They've moved on now from him. I think they've gone to their rookie Desmond Ridder.
Desmond Ridder. I thought he might be. I thought we had someone else who was playing. So it's Desmond Ridder playing, and you know, another sort of team full of kind of no names, really.
I mean, he's still got guys like Cordarrelle Patterson in the backfield. You know, Tyler Allgeier has been a good rookie running back for them. And
Drake London has had his moments. Yeah,
he's had his moments. Sadly, Kyle Pitts is injured.
Yeah,
I say sadly, you know, probably thankful for the Cardinals he's injured, because he could probably just single-handedly ruin our defense.
Yeah, definitely. Well, considering how weak we've been to tight ends all year.
I mean, I suppose I would like to see him versus Isaiah Simmons. That would be...
That would be cool, yeah. If they decided to drop Isaiah Simmons for him, but like to drop Isaiah Simmons further back into the field, but
it's also something we'll have to consider, because obviously he's injured, and you know, I think basically they're just a really good running team just because of who their head coach is.
Yeah, exactly. And they do have, you know, they've got a wide variety of running backs as well. As you said, Cordarrelle Patterson probably the best known, but Caleb Huntley's had his moments this year. BJ Baylor, I think, had a really big game at some point.
Yeah, and Allgeier as well. He's just been solid throughout as a rookie. Yeah. So I can see them just running it up and down, because our defensive line is pretty much powerless to stop anyone running on them.
Yeah. But that being said, you know, I think... They might be a bit buoyed by being able to stop the Buccaneers this week with the runs. You know, they had some pretty good run defense this week, and you know, I don't think they've got the stamina to do it for a full game, but maybe kind of putting the brakes on a little bit, forcing the Falcons to throw a little bit more. But I think the big question is, can this offense score more than a handful of points, really? Can they actually get into the red zone, for example, across three quarters of football?
I mean, we have got Colt McCoy back at quarterback, it seems. So hopefully DeAndre Hopkins will be able to have some catchable ball thrown his way.
Yeah. But I think, you know, Colt McCoy as well, like we saw him have, as a, throughout all of his career, we've seen him have a good game and a bad game and a good game and a bad game. And I think it really just depends which one shows up.
Like we say, though, most people will be hoping a bad quarterback shows up anyway, just because, like, the season's gone. Like,
what's the point of making it
like being a 5-win team or even a 6-win team if we beat San Francisco as well the week after? Exactly. Like, what's the point?
And I think, you know, that's the other thing to remember is that Atlanta do have something to play for here, and Arizona really don't. The closest thing we've got to play for is not finishing bottom of the division if we win and LA loses.
If you finish bottom of the division, you do get a fourth place schedule the next year.
Yeah, exactly, which is another thing that's possibly worth holding on to. I think I'm hoping for a loss this week.
I mean, I'm not hoping for a loss. I'm just expecting a loss, really.
Yeah.
And again, I think it'll just be another one of those, like, boringly tedious games. Why are we bothering to watch this? But we'll still watch it anyway, just because that's what we do.
On the plus side, it's a funny old system, isn't it? You know, with that sort of getting the last place loss and all of that stuff. And, you know, I suppose there's something fun to cheer for in a kind of loss like that as well. But as you said, I really just hope that it's not so much of a really awful to watch game. On the plus side, if they're running a lot, then that'll keep the clock ticking as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it'll be over quickly and then we could go back to red zone and hopefully catch some of the witching hour.
Yeah.
Because I can't see there being much of a change in this one.
No. Yeah, I guess that's us kind of set up other than doing some predictions, though.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go for a really boring, like, Cardinals score 10, Falcons score 17, possibly 20, I don't know.
I reckon
because the Cardinals... field goal.
I reckon the Falcons are going to score a rushing touchdown once every quarter, so they're going to get 28. And the Cardinals are going to score like 16.
I mean, that does seem to be quite a lot for the Cardinals, but, you know.
Let's bring that back. Let's have them score 12. They're going to get into field goal range 4 times. That's it.
And Cliff Kingsbury going to take the field goals this time, is he?
Yeah, maybe, you know. Maybe he'll just be feeling the pressure.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing that, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen. Like, obviously there's reports this week, like, say Cliff Kingsbury's sad or whatever, is it? Like, he's miserable all the time, you know, him and Kyle Murray are, like, growing apart, basically. It's like, who's putting all this information out there and what are they trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, it's odd as well when you consider how well J.J. Watt was able to hide his retirement. You know, to me, it seems a lot like people making stuff up, to be honest. But nobody knows. We'll find out 2 days after the season. I think he's gone. You know, there's no rescue in it now, right? Like the way that the games are going and everything else, even if you won, it would just be seen as a bad thing now.
Yeah, people would just hate him more for winning, wouldn't they?
They would,
which is weird to say, but it's probably true.
I think it would be different if they won out the last 4 games of the season and we had, you know, maybe the chance at a wild card spot or something like that. But, you know, now for all the reasons we talked about, you just want out there. You want out there with no more wins and that's it.
Yeah, just so we can get that early draft pick and then hopefully do something with it. But, yep. You know, that's another case for another time. And, you know, we're months and months away from the NFL draft.
Yeah, but we're only a week away from our review of the Atlanta Falcons game, which will be coming up next week, hopefully back to our usual recording time. But we'll see, because this period of the year is very strange anyway. But I guess that's us for this week.
Yep, that's it for this week's episode of the British Bird Gang Breakdown. As always, if you're not following us on Twitter, go follow us at British Bird Gang. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/British Bird Gang. And join the group at facebook.com/groups/British Bird Gang. Buy British Bird Gang merch at britishbirdgang.tmall.com. And of course, if you like, we'll listen to on the podcast, then leave us a review wherever it is you get your podcast from. And, you know, it's always good to see people listen to the podcast however long they want to listen to it for.
Yeah, well, much appreciated. Huge appreciation. And, we'll continue to be back at it and continue through the season.
No matter how bad the games get, you know, we're still here doing a podcast.
Anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, until next week, thanks for listening, and goodbye.